Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Second hour of the show. Mr. Kevin Wheeler is going to hang with me a little bit this hour. Plus, I have brought a couple other folks into the fray here to ask a personal hygiene question that's not too embarrassing, I don't think. Carol, are you there? How are you?
I am busy.
Afternoon?
Hurry up. I'm good.
I know. Well, this is pretty easy. This one's pretty easy, and I'm testing a theory. Kevin, are you there? How are you, man?
Kevin, I find it very offensive that you're talking personal hygiene on the day that you bring me in. I feel like you're targeting me.
Yeah, I don't want to trigger you.
And you're not wrong for doing it. I just want to say I feel like that's like a shot at me.
I know Dave, because I want to ask him this. Fred already answered the question because I was testing this theory out.
How about old Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
Thank you, Kenny. We can ask Kenny. All right, so bottom line is here. The other night, now I've been together with my wife for 18 years. I've been married for 12 years. By the way, her birthday, Carol, is on Friday, September 11th.
Oh, so fantastic. Happy birthday.
That. So we're brushing our teeth the other night, and she's brushing her tongue. Now, I can probably confirm that over the course of 18 years, I've seen my wife brush her tongue. But on this particular instance, it struck me as odd and funny. I said, "What are you doing brushing your tongue? Nobody brushes their tongue." And she says, "I brush my tongue, and other people brush their tongue." So I asked my friend Rick, who's in Las Vegas, and he said, "Yes, I brush my tongue." I said, "It's crazy." He goes, "That's why you have bad breath." I asked Fred. Fred says he does not brush his tongue.
No,
so
I don't.
I will
but
start
I
here.
I remember my dentist a long time ago saying it would be a good thing to do, but I kind of forgot.
I don't even remember a dentist telling me that. All right, so Carol, tongue brusher or not? This is an odd question, isn't it?
It depends on what I've eaten. I do it sometimes, but I don't do it regularly. But I do it sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. My husband does.
I mean, I... Regularly.
Yes, regularly. When I see him brushing his teeth, he does add a little swish to the tongue.
The goal being the breath issue or just overall hygiene?
Well, I think they're one and the same.
But I guess so.
Yeah. I mean, the reason that we brush our teeth is because they get, you know, gunky, but it's a hygiene. It's a practice, a part of hygiene. Right. So the tongue is a part of that. Yeah.
Kevin, brush.
Yeah,
brush
believe
your
it or not, I do.
Oh my
gosh.
I do the top
of my mouth too. Like don't
the top
you
of your mouth? Wait a
yeah.
minute. Wait a minute.
I'm not kidding.
Like the roof of your mouth?
Yeah.
What the heck are you eating or drinking?
It's all in the same place, right? I mean, if you're doing one, why not do the whole stinking thing?
I guess so.
I've never done that.
Do you not wash the hood
what about
of your
the
car?
Tonsils?
I mean, come on.
Tonsils.
I tried it once, Mark.
But
it didn't go well.
Yeah, I know. That's all right, Dave Klein. I'm going to say no on Klein.
I'd say yes.
How dare you, Mark? I do not brush the top of my mouth like Kevin, but I do brush my tongue. I have one of these... The fancy Quip toothbrushes. It's kind of like a Harry's for toothbrushes where they send you like the head every 4 months. It's amazing. And it has a scraper on there that I use for my tongue.
It's got a scraper.
It's got a scraper, a tongue scraper. I'd say not every night, but I'd say easily 4 or 5 times a week.
If you stick your tongue out right now, Mark, and there's like white stuff on the back of your tongue, you are just an awful human being.
I'm gonna do it right now.
Come on, check it out.
Well, I'm an awful human being.
Check it out.
Hey, that doesn't look good. That doesn't look good at all.
It's all the Diet Coke.
Yeah, I guess I got to. I can probably tell you it is. But the Diet Coke kills a certain amount of bacteria. It's like battery acid, I think. I don't know that I've ever brushed my tongue in my life, and now I feel guilty because of it, because I'm definitely in the minority here once again.
Yeah.
And I'm a little stunned by it. My wife told me I would be wrong. I should have just listened to her. My daughter brushes her tongue occasionally because Becky's taught her how to do it. I'm not in the brush your tongue camp though. Anti-masker or an anti-vaxxer.
Yeah, there you are.
It's kind of
somebody
weird.
Told me to it's do it, so I'm not going to do it. Damn it!
Is that it, Mark? This is an issue of liberty.
You're going to get an expert. Actually, it's a liberty issue.
The first time I heard it was from Kermit the Frog. He told me that years ago on Sesame Street. True story.
Really? Kermit the Frog is the one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I have a 3-minute conversation here because I wasn't sure when we were going to get to this afternoon. Carol, I know you have work to do. I can let you go back to your the newsroom, but I'm going to have Dr. Yeah, brush your tongue. So here, listen, though, when you get back to your desk, Dr. Jeff Dalen is with Dalen Dental Associates, and I asked him this question. We went to the professionals. I said, all right, Dr. Dalen, I don't remember this, learning this. You know, I don't remember a lot of things when I was a kid. So what's the story?
the dental profession does recommend brushing your tongue. I mean, you don't have to do it, you know, 3 times a day, but usually once a day is sufficient. It's good to do. There's bacteria that get trapped in, you know, your tongue is a very rough surface, and sometimes people get coatings on their tongue. So absolutely, it's a good idea to take that toothbrush at the end when you're done brushing your teeth and just kind of brush over the surface of your tongue.
So is it basically, you mentioned the bacteria, is that something that could potentially affect one's breath quality?
Oh, 100%. That's a biggie.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things when people talk about bad breath, I mean, they come to us as a dentist and we check for cavities, gum disease, things like that. But most people are doing well. So then you start looking for other causes. And one of which is, a nice thick coating on your tongue. And then you get into the post-nasal drips and things like that. But you know, tongue is a nice, quick, easy thing to do, and it makes you a little bit more healthy.
Any particular method for brushing the tongue before I enter the fray here, now that I know it's important?
your toothbrush will do it. Like I said, I like to do it after you brush. Clean your teeth first and then go at the tongue. They do make tongue cleaners. There are different devices. When you go to the drugstore and look down the row of all the toothbrushes, they may have tongue cleaners there, and they're little shaped things that just kind of scrape the surface of your tongue, and it's just another way to help get it a little bit cleaner.
There we go. Trying to learn something every day. Dr. Jeff Dalen with Dalen Dental Associates. My wife was right again. She's going to rub this in, I'm sure. Thanks, Dr. Dalen. I appreciate
it. It always works out that way. We all know that.
Well, there you go. I'm an outlier, and I had no idea. Now I feel reckless, Kevin Wheeler, in not addressing the bacteria on my tongue, and I'm going to try to correct that. Although I say that, I'm really not, I don't think. Interesting. I guess I didn't know.
Once a slacker, always a slacker, right?
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about baseball here and some of the other things. We'll take a break. I want to get your thoughts on youth sports. Sam Page chiming in on that just a little bit more. I know you have a Sports Open line tonight as well.
Yep.
So we'll take a break. We're coming back. Kevin's going to spend the hour with me. We have an audio cut of the day as well. It's all coming up on KMOX.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show.
When you're out of my sight, you must constantly Twitter me exactly what you're up to.
Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Reardon, KMOX.
All right, welcome back. 318. Kevin Wheeler is hanging with me this afternoon. I do want to kind of get your thoughts on baseball, maybe even Lou Brock, and we'll do that at the bottom of the hour. But something just cleared Twitter, Kevin, that I thought was interesting. And I'm going to relate it back to something, and this kind of all plays into what's going on with youth sports and the pandemic and everything. So right before the show today, Dave Klein, chime in here. Remember what I said? Remember when I was kind of going off in your ear about schools and things like that? I said, you remember what I said?
I think you said that if colleges are going back, then why not little kids, essentially, right?
Well, no, that's not even close, Dave, but you're busy, so I understand that.
Nice try.
That was it.
If I didn't
try door number
point.
Two.
No, it wasn't it. Right, door number two is this. That's okay. It's not. You know, I was yelling things, and I wasn't sure if you were paying attention, so I don't mean to break bad on you. What I said was kindergarten through sixth grade should be in school. The college kids should be the ones not in school because of this, and let me offer an example. And the reason that I think it's timely is, Kevin, there is a Twitter from a Twitter. sound like my mom. There's a tweet from the NBC affiliate in Madison, Wisconsin, and this is the breaking story. Dane County Executive Joe Parisi wants the University of Wisconsin to send all undergraduates home for the rest of the semester. Now, I kind of understand where he's coming from, and let me offer this as an example. This is Woodland Hills, California, early Tuesday morning. There was a party with 100 people in attendance. Now, I'm not saying these were all college kids, but that's the demo we're talking about. Listen to the response of the kids.
Bro, I paid 18 racks for my teeth, bro. I wear a mask, bro. I didn't buy all this money for my teeth to wear a mask, bro.
I was outside. The homegirls were outside. We tried to keep it as safe as possible, but you know, a lot of people came.
If you came here and decided you wanted to put yourself at risk or et cetera, then that's your business. I mean, apparently America is supposed to be a free country. So, you know, you have that option to choose or not.
Well, look, I mean, we know that it's not just young kids that have attitudes like that. Okay, so that's important to get on the table. But don't you think that that's what's happening? We have restrictions on youth sports. We have restrictions where restaurants can't open, full capacity, all these things. But I think we're losing sense of the bigger picture and where this thing is really spreading.
Yeah. I'll tell you this, though, Mark. I mean, you don't have billions of dollars resting on elementary school and high school kids. I mean, these colleges need, and I'm not trying to be a smartass here, but like they're trying to get their money. And you bring people back, they put down the deposits, they get on campus. Obviously, they're not going to withdraw from school, because I know some people probably would if it was going to be online only, because who's going to want to pay full price for online only? So, I mean, there's a financial element to that. And I think it's, you know, there's the cynic in me that says that's ridiculous, but you want to know what the difference is. That's the difference. There's money on the line there.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. You know, and yeah, it's pretty hard for UW-Madison, which is $55,000 plus probably $60,000 a year. I mean, it would be hard for Mizzou to say, okay, we're going to go all virtual again because of the coronavirus, and you're going to pay full tuition.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, you know, being Mr. Sports Guy, I always find the sports part of this, but it's one of the reasons why a lot of these schools are at least short term doing things remotely, but they're still playing college football. Because there's billions of dollars on the line in it. So if you want to know why something's happening, I don't need to tell you this, but, I mean, follow the money, man. If there are billions of dollars there, they're going to make exceptions, and they're going to do things that don't seem like they make much sense. Because you're right. I mean, the kids in the party age, in the partying age, like, you know, our kids are about the same age. Thankfully, I know I'm very proud of my kid. She's not goofy enough to get caught up in the middle of all that as a grad student now. But yeah, it's all about making sure that you don't have people withdrawing from school.
Well, that's why I think Joe Parisi said undergrads, because the grad students probably are a little bit more buttoned up. But I just think, I guess I'm bringing it up from this perspective. I think when all is said and done, I think a lot of us are really worried about how dark the winter is going to be and how boring and how depressing it's going to be. And if we believe what's happening, and you look at the numbers right now and where the spikes are happening, it is in the younger demographic. And, you know, Mizzou's out today with something. We'll get your reaction to this. All right, so they have now an order that says if you go to the University of Missouri, my son, Aiden's still there. Evan graduated, Kevin, about your daughter's age. Your daughter's about 23, right? That's where Evan is right now.
Same age.
You know, we're about the same age. So now you have to not only wear a mask when you're on campus in a building, but even if you're outdoors and when you're alone outdoors. Now, I can say this about some of that might seem a little goofy, because if you're outdoors, from what I remember when I went to classes at Mizzou and just from seeing college campuses, it can be pretty crowded on Lowry Mall or other parts of a college campus with kids walking by. So I think you can make a case for that. But then you have the, when you're alone outdoors, wear a mask. That makes as much sense as a cameraman in Busch Stadium who's 30 yards away from anyone wearing a mask and being required to wear a mask. That makes no sense to me whatsoever.
No, I mean, I get it. I understand what they're trying to do. I agree with you. It just, because, I mean, I spend a lot of time outside, Mark, and when I'm outside, I'm not wearing a mask unless I'm going to be, like, in a giant crowd, which hasn't happened since this all started. I've not been in that position. But on a college campus, you may think you're alone, and in 10 minutes, the quad might be full. And I understand it. I think it probably is one of those things where you're going too far on purpose because you want to make sure you're getting compliance in case – things change in a short amount of time and somebody gets stuck. Well, I thought I was going to be alone, and now I'm surrounded by 100 other people because something class is let out or because there's some other activity going on.
I think what you're seeing here is any effort they can implement to keep from sending the students home, what Joe Parisi wants to do in Madison, because they have to keep doing this. They know that the cases are spiking. They're trying to hold it together. And if they can make more requirements and somehow keep it in check, I suppose that's what they're going for right now. Now, on the youth sports issue here, it looks like for younger kids, Sam Page today announced, the St. Louis County executive, that because there are fewer cases among younger children, the guidelines when it comes to sports with moderate frequency contact activities, baseball, cheerleading, softball, volleyball, you can play competition. I know they've been able to practice. Now they can play. But in that 15 to 19-year-old group, and that's high school sports, you're not going to have those competitions at this point because that's where the cases are spiking. Now, Kevin, as you might imagine, I'm on a couple of boards with parents from Rockwood. The parents are not responding to this very well right now.
Well, I mean, I understand it, and I also understand the difference between one sport and another. I mean, the nature and the nature of football is that you're going to run into each other, and you're going to be sweating on each other, and you're going to be breathing on each other, and it's going to be a problem. I mean, I coach baseball, and it's all at – I mean, baseball's generally pretty distant. And, you know, I just went through a whole summer season, Mark, and we didn't have a single problem with any of the age groups that are a part of our program. And that's not to say that nothing ever happened. I'm sure it did somewhere else. But, you know, each of these sports is different. And I think that it's hard to compare high school football, for example, with both college and pro football, because in college and pro football, they have much greater control over what each student does because the student is not with their parents and their family. Like in high school, you're going to be in the surroundings that your parents put you in, right? I mean, for the most part. You have some freedom, but a lot of that freedom has probably been taken away over the last 4 or 5 months compared to what it would have been, say, when you and I were in high school. Just obviously people doing things a little bit differently than they normally did. But, you know, you're looking at – I mean, how many times do you get, Mark? You probably get messages every day that go across the spectrum when it comes to masks and social distancing and following rules and paying attention to what – whatever guidelines are out there, right? I mean, you're going to get agreement and disagreement. Well, on a college campus, you can tell a college kid, listen, you're going to do this or you're going to be off the team. You're going to do this or you don't get to live on campus. You don't get to live in the football dorms or in the football apartments on campus. And you don't have that kind of control at the high school level over whether or not everybody's following these things when they're off the field. I'm not sure that it's not a perfect setup, and I know that it's not going to align itself like scientifically true every single time, but I think that's part of the difficulty when you compare higher levels of sports to the lower levels of sports.
And then you got the schools issue, and I'm just noticing here that Lindbergh, I didn't realize this, Lindbergh had kindergarten through third grade going already on a hybrid schedule. They're announcing now that you're going to be able to go fourth and fifth grade. So I guess my question would be for Dr. Miles and for Parkway and some of these other districts, what are you waiting for? Why aren't you getting some of the kids back into classes right now? That's one of the questions. I don't know what your theory is on this. You don't have little kids. I'm definitely affected because I'm teaching kindergarten. But when it comes, Kevin, we've been going to daycare this whole time from March. Never shut down. Not one case. Not one case affiliated with the daycare. So, and maybe that's just lucky, but I think that follows the pattern of the younger kids. That's why I think it is safe for kindergarten through third grade, kindergarten through fourth grade, you know, to be in school right now, at least on the hybrid schedule.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, having seen it, you know, from a sports perspective, I mean, in kids, the guys that I'm coaching, Mark, are typically 13, 14, 15 years old. So they're kind of in between these two age groups that we're talking about, and it's gone pretty well. I mean, and it's not like everything is enforced strictly all the time, but I do understand the more the sheer numbers that you throw at something, the more likely it is that one thing is going to go wrong. And if one goes wrong when you have a lot of people in one small place, there's a chance that, like we've seen on these college campuses, where it can go crazy. And you know, obviously, the smaller the crowd, the more spread out everybody is, the fewer people you have in there at any given time, you're reducing the risk.
Do you think, I mean, this is going to be fascinating to watch moving forward, and I suppose we'll know relatively quickly. Do you think that the SEC and the Big 12 and the schools that are going to play football are actually going to succeed here this fall, and the Big 10 and these other conferences are going to be sitting back saying, whoopsie?
Well, I mean, I find it hard to believe that they're going to be able to go 5 or 6 months, especially in the case of the NFL, 5 or 6 months uninterrupted. I mean, baseball has done pretty well, right? I mean, they've done pretty well, but you've had interruptions. You know, you had the Marlins thing pop up. Obviously, we know very well what happened with the Cardinals. The Oakland A's just had a similar thing. There were a couple other teams that were affected by the Cardinals and Marlins outbreaks, and they kind of recovered and got it back. But can you keep in mind, baseball's only trying to do this for 3 months. The NBA and the NHL are different animals because they went inside the bubble.
Bubbles.
Right.
Right.
And it's going to be different here. I hope they can pull it off, but I don't know how you do over 5 or 6 months. How do you do that outside
either.
Of a bubble environment and not have one or two people do something even seemingly innocent in their everyday life and get exposed? And then once you're in that group and you're tackling each other and you're falling on top of each other all the time, I don't know how they won't have something that interrupts things.
I agree.
I hope they don't.
However, the thing that moves me in the other direction, because I'm with you, is the fact that there have not been a lot of breakouts on these teams so far. But we'll come back. I want to get your thoughts on the Cardinals and Lou Brock. We'll have another segment here, audio cut of the day as well.
News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
3:36. We have a baseball doubleheader tomorrow. That means I will not be here. We have a roundtable on Friday, though. We have the panel set for that. Looking forward to a lot of great conversation. Jane Duker, former state senators John Lamping and Jeff Smith. Kevin Wheeler is spending the hour with me. I also have an audio cut of the day. Kevin, I have not been on this week because we had the holiday. Well, we had baseball both days. I had the holiday and baseball and then doubleheader yesterday. So I have not had anything at this point to say about Lou Brock. Obviously, very, very sad. You know, I didn't know Lou outside of – I just have two instances. And the first one was very humbling and memorable. I played, and this might have been before I was doing Afternoon Drive on KMOX. So I started 2006, but I didn't start Afternoon Drive until 2008. So I was, this was back before I started playing golf again, and I would play in a couple of outings. And I played in a Lou's golf tournament. And one of the things that I remember is, I think this, I could be mixing these up, but I remember one time, I think at that golf tournament, we hit into a par three, and there was some dude on the green that was picking up balls. I'm like, who the heck is picking? Well, that was Whitey. Whitey was picking balls up, and just he was deciding who had the best shot. And then on one of the holes, Lou was there, and I'd never met him before. Obviously, a little starstruck, and I said, Mr. Brock, Mark Reardon, KMOX. And he looked at me, and he goes, oh, I know who you are. Like, because he listened, and it was kind of intimidating. We exchanged some, you know, pleasantries, if you will. And then I think it was a while after that, he followed on Twitter, and I made some comment like, oh, Lou Brock is, you know, because that's still kind of intimidating. He said, just keep it clean. So I don't know if he kept following. I didn't know Lou really at all outside of those two instances. And, you know, I remember my most fond Lou Brock, you know, memories were from when I was a kid in the 70s, watching him steal those bases and break records, right?
Yeah. I mean, you nearly described what my first encounter with him was like, Mark. It was also at his golf outing. And, you know, you came in earlier, I believe. What was it, the winter of 2006, like January, February,
yeah,
something like
right,
that?
Right, exactly.
Well, I was August of 2006 when I first came to KMOX. And right after that, I think it was sometime mid-September, was the Lou Brock Golf Classic. And we were broadcasting from the location. And, of course, you know, Tom Ackerman is out there. And he's obviously worked a lot with Lou. And he brings Lou over to sit down. And we're going to do a spot on Sports Open Line. And I remember that same kind of vibe, Mark, where, you know, I was like, okay, this is a Hall of Famer. I mean, like, this is Lou Brock.
Yeah.
And he sits down. And I did the whole Mr. Brock thing. He said, my name is Lou.
Yeah, right,
and I was like,
right.
First of all, this is cool already, and you know, that's just, you know, being in sports, you had a chance to run into him at the ballpark a lot. And what I was always struck by is how he, like you said, he would remember your name, he would remember what you did. Like, you didn't have to keep reminding somebody, you know, hey, we met before. Like, and I was like, no, hey, you know, it would always be hi, Kevin. It would always be something like that. And I'll tell you the maybe my favorite thing about Lou, my favorite interaction was at Fantasy Camp, Mark. This is probably 2012-ish, something like that, 2012, 2013, something along those lines, one of those two. And having him just destroy me in one of the morning meetings. They have these morning meetings where everybody basically gets ripped on for how bad they were the day before by the former Cardinals players that are there. And now,
that's awesome.
Keep in mind that now they, you know, a lot of times it's from the front of the room, and you know, you definitely don't want it to be guys like Scott Terry. You know, certain guys will really get you, right? I mean, like, they go hard. Lou was super subtle, and he was like just sitting right behind me, and he kind of like just whispering in my ear like all of the bad things I did the day before. And I you know, and it was, first of all, totally clean. A lot of times it's not there, but he was obviously totally PG-13. And but just getting the knife kind of jab between your ribs from Lou Brock was probably one of my favorite things ever. Like, it was just so hilarious and awesome. I'm being trash talked by Lou. Like, this is the best thing ever.
Well, I would encourage everyone to read the tribute from Lou Brock Jr., his son, who was really, he's a cool guy too. I've had a chance to have some conversations with him. So great fond memories of number 20 for the St. Louis Cardinals. In the meantime, yesterday didn't turn out as well as it could have. Obviously, the first game wasn't very good at all.
No.
But the Cardinals rally in the second game. And Carlos, I didn't see that whole second game. Carlos had a pretty good outing, right?
You know, there were times where it looked really good. I mean, he's obviously still kind of working back to kind of full strength, so I don't know that we can really get a good judge on whether he's quote unquote going to be back or not. You know, there was like the first couple of innings he was really sharp. It was the third inning where things got away from him a little bit. But as he pointed out, and I thought there were some interesting things about his kind of dealing with having had COVID, and he was one of the people that did have to go to the hospital a couple times. They were talking about it on the broadcast yesterday, how it, you know, kind of changed his perspective and how he thinks the team needs him in the rotation with, you know, the very, you know, Kwon Young Kim now being out of there for the time being because of the, was it the kidney issue that he's dealing with? Something along those lines. And, you know, Carlos is such an intriguing guy because at times in the past he's been so good, but he's been hurt so much these last couple of years. And then also ineffective as a starter, but more effective as a reliever. It's just, he's a fascinating guy, and I don't mean that in a good or a bad way. It's just, it's interesting to see which way it's going to go, because it still could go either way.
Yeah, see, I like him, and I've defended him. I know he's a little weird, but I've always liked Carlos, and I'm wishing him well. I hope he can get back in and, you know, into the groove fully. You know, it's interesting. Today, Kevin, as you know, the 9th of September, the Cardinals, in theory, I only say in theory because you don't know, there could be a rain out or something else COVID-related, in theory will not have another off day until the 28th of the month, right? Am I getting that right? You got a doubleheader tomorrow, the Reds the weekend, doubleheader Monday, doubleheader next Wednesday, another doubleheader next Friday, and then the Pirates come to town. Well, I guess they're going to be at the Pirates, but I mean, this is the sprint to the finish right now, starting tomorrow against the Tigers.
Yeah, and there's a chance they may have to add two games on at the end of that, depending on whether they're necessary, right? Because I think on their schedule now they have 58 games, not 60, because there's one that they haven't had. They don't have a date to put it on just yet. And I guess they'll play that the day after the end of the season if it's needed to determine something in the standings. And, you know, at this point, the way the standings look, it very well may be. But, yeah, 23 games in 18 days, Mark. that's what they're setting up for.
Let me see if I get this right. So if the season ends and we're in first place, or I'm sorry, the Cubs are in first place, we're in second place, and it doesn't look like those two games really would make a difference, then you kind of call it a season. But if we're just a game out or something along those lines that could make a difference, that's when you have those games.
That, or, I mean, look, right now you're only 2.5 games ahead of Milwaukee. If that's two or one, or whether the Reds are 3.5 games back. So, again, if any of that tightens up, or if you happen to fall out of second place and you're in the wild card mix, then you'd be in there with the Marlins. You'd be in there, obviously, with the Brewers and the Reds. You'd be in there with the Giants and the Rockies. Like, they're all kind of right there around 500. So if you know, this season is weird, and there are a lot of, you know, crazy scenarios. I don't know for sure that baseball is going to make them do that, though. We don't know this yet. There's a chance they might just say, hey, the percentage is the percentage, and that's what we have to go with because we got to get the postseason started. And they are thinking about and planning to have everybody in a postseason bubble. And, they may need that day to start that process. So I'm not sure that we're exactly clear on how Major League Baseball is definitely going to handle that. But I know this, if it's going to decide whether or not somebody else gets in, there's going to be a lot of complaining if they don't make them play it.
Yeah, no, I think you're right about that. It'll be interesting. I mean, I guess I'm just hanging on to hope here that we've had no glitches, no more glitches. Obviously, a couple of teams that have had some scares. And if the playoffs, some people hate this, but I'm going to do it anyway. If the playoffs were held today, Dodgers would play the Giants, Cubs would play the Marlins, the Braves would play the Cardinals, the Padres would play the Phillies. So yeah. If the season would end today, but we know the season does not end today, so those things are sometimes kind of silly. But I thought I'd throw
the
it out
rest,
there anyway.
The rest for the team just ends today.
Yeah. Well, look, the schedule, too, you can look at it. The Tigers are pretty good. The Pirates aren't very good, but they seem to have our number and the Brewers' number this season. So you can't sit there and say, look, we got a series. What, that would be a five-game series, or is that a six-game? No, it's a five-game series with the Pirates next weekend. So you could feel pretty good about that, but I don't even know if you can at this point. Then the Royals after that. So in theory, the season ends somewhat favorably. That last series is against the Brewers, and that could be pretty important considering the standings.
I mean, you don't have anybody that has a winning record right now. None of those teams do. I mean, you know, Detroit's been better than expected, but they got beat 19-0 today by the Brewers, no less. And they're three games under 500. You know, the Brewers are three games under 500. The Pirates are, they're 12 games below 500. And obviously the Royals are terrible. So looking at it from that perspective, your opportunity is really good, but you're also playing 23 games in 18 days.
Did you say 19-0?
Yeah, 19-0.
Okay, well, that caught my attention.
They missed a couple of extra points.
Jeez. Yeah, I guess so. Kevin's back at 4:15. He's got a Sports Open line tonight. I have audio cut of the day coming up.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Sponsored by the Good Feet Store, pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. All right, so you have a new book out called Rage by Bob Woodward, he of Woodward and Bernstein. And he had a lot of conversations, 18 interviews from December 5th to July 21st. February 7th, talking to the president about the coronavirus. President seemed to think it was pretty serious, said it's even more serious, more deadly than the flu. Another conversation, this is the one that's getting a lot of attention, March 19th.
I wanted to always play it down. I still like playing it down.
Yes, sir.
Because I don't want to create a panic.
So he says he doesn't want to create a panic. CNN's story says if instead of playing down what he knew, Trump had acted decisively in early February with a strict shutdown and a consistent message to wear masks, social distance, and wash hands, experts believe that thousands of Americans could have been saved lives. Of course, Dr. Fauci wasn't even telling people to wear masks then. But did he mislead people? Does he feel like he misled people? He didn't want to create a panic. Here's the president this afternoon.
Well, I think if you said in order to reduce panic, perhaps that's so. The fact is, I'm a cheerleader for this country. I love our country. And I don't want people to be frightened. I don't want to create panic, as you say. And certainly, I'm not going to drive this country or the world into a frenzy. We want to show confidence. We want to show strength. We want to show strength as a nation. And that's what I've done. And we've done very well. We've done well from any standard. You look at our numbers compared to other countries, other parts of the world. It's been an amazing job that we've done. I think it's very sad in many respects because the incredible individuals working so hard on it, including our vice president, they've done this great job. They haven't been acknowledged by the news media, and they should, for the job we've done, whether it's ventilators, and now you'll see very soon with vaccines and with therapeutics, the job we've done has been incredible.
So he also outlined some of the steps that he says he took to protect the country.
Long before anybody else wanted to do it, I closed our borders to a very heavily infected China. If I didn't do that, we would have had hundreds of thousands more people die. Dr. Fauci said it. Many people said it. It was a great decision. It was a decision I made and I had to make. It was a decision that a lot of people thought I was wrong. Nancy Pelosi said I was wrong. Joe Biden said I was wrong. They all came back and they said it was the right decision. And I was way early. That was in January, the end of January I did that. So that was a very good thing we did. Otherwise, we would have had hundreds of thousands more. But if we didn't close the country, we would have been talking about millions of people instead of the numbers that we have right now.
Yeah, you know, partially true on that. He always goes back to China. He did close the border to most foreigners who were traveling from China to the U.S., but he didn't do that for U.S. citizens and others. So a little misleading there. This story is going to probably continue. Bob Woodward's selling a book. He's on all the shows this weekend. It's 3:56. That's your audio cut of the day. Total Information PM is coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.